OG. Hey, look at me. Ain't got no TV or car. And most people, they're wary of me. I got my head in the stars. They say that I'm partial to play, so I won't go very far. Hey, that's okay, I'm on a long holiday with my head in the stars, in the stars.
Dr. Fred Bell's Health Sense and Energy Show. And we're going to do an echo show tonight, if there ever was one. This will be a first. That, of course, was one of my singers, Shades, good old Shades, and he's from my Voyager band, one of the great Voyager players, I might say, Shades. That's from Andromeda with Love, and there was three stories, a rock opera that I wrote. It's about three different contactees being approached by this beautiful woman from the Pleiades, and you probably have some of the other intros, you probably heard some of the others. It was recorded with this beautiful English singer who was actually San Francisco born, English raised, Holly Penfield, and she was a fabulous singer. She teaches voice and is an excellent pianist, and she's over in England playing right now as we speak, and she played the part of the Pleiadian girl. And I think in the show that we did last week, you could hear her voice and the commentary between her and one of the contactees. That was played by Jesse this week. It's Shades. Shades had kind of a Roy Orbison type of voice. And anyway, tonight, by the way, thanks. I think I had a 14th listener. Can you believe this now? I think at a 14th listener on my Saturday night show. Oh, we're growing. And I think I've got almost 99% feed. I think I've got 13 feedbacks up there. So we're doing better than ever. Better than ever on feedbacks. So anyhow, I had a show back in 1984. And it was called Dr. Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, which, of course, is an original title. As you can tell, we've never used that title again. And this is a show that was done in 1984, which would be about 21 years ago. And I think you're going to enjoy this one. I had a co-host. His name was Jim. And he used to call me up from Redondo Beach every day. And he'll be calling here any second. We're going into my time machine. Momentarily, you're probably going to hear him calling me. I've got a feeling that Jim will be calling very soon. And I'll be glad that when he calls me, that will be good, because you'll be hearing me answer the phone. And, of course, we'll make sure everything is working properly here as Jim decides to call me. And I'm thinking, Jim, are you going to call pretty soon? And I think you're going to really find this tape real interesting, this what we were covering in those days. So I'm waiting for Jim. Oh, I think Jim's there. I think Jim's tuning in. Here's the show.
Your talk alternative now continues on 93.5 KOX Redondo Beach with the Dr. Fred Bell Health Science and Energy Show. Now, live from Laguna Beach, California, Dr. Bell, good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
See the Dr. Bell show. You didn't believe me.
For a few hours here.
I'm doing fine. Had a great weekend.
Ago.
How about yourself?
Oh, it was really good.
I'll turn
I
the show over to the old doctor,
rested.
Young Dr. Bell.
You stayed in bed. Well, that can be fun at times.
Dr. Bell stayed
great.
In bed.
Good relaxation.
Okay.
So anyway, I had a good time listening to the doc and you guys talk this morning about the debate yesterday.
The presidential debates last night, yes.
And from a spiritual eye, you know, looking at that, I totally agree with what was being said on that. And of course, when Mondale has that definite problem with bags under the eyes, you know. And I've noticed that in people that drink alcohol, that has a tendency to persist a little bit, you know, like a martini on a regular basis, that kind of thing.
Well, I don't think that is the case with Walter Mondale. As Dr. Crowdy indicated, it may, in fact, be connected with the blood pressure problem.
Right, blood pressure, but and then hypoglycemia. And all of those things, and then the liver, and those are the organs that get affected by that. But it was really interesting watching the debate, and especially in one area where there was a couple things that I thought should have been brought up that weren't. And it's going to be, I think, this in the next presidential election, after this one, it's going to be a major concern. It started out in the very beginning as a major concern, but didn't go too far as the subject of the arms race started to get involved in the new types of weapons being developed.
Are you referring to the Star Wars systems?
Yeah, that's. Remember I told you that we're going to have a segment on the show here. We're going to talk about these new weapons that Reagan was referring to. How much Reagan knows about them, I don't know, but I'm aware of some weapons research that's going on in the world right now. It's pretty awesome weapons. Entirely different, nothing that was mentioned yesterday. And I'm familiar with every single weapon that they mentioned yesterday and every counter weapon, having been in defense work for 10 years myself. But one of the things that they left out was the environmental. The environmental problem is going to be a far greater problem because, you know, realize environmental problems have no boundaries. You know, when we're talking about weapons, we're talking about boundaries. And the spiritual influence of the higher nature of coming through this planet right now is waking people up to the environment. People are struggling for spiritual survival now. And this will cause frustrations, not against nation like it has in the past, because the spiritual development causing that kind of conflict and turmoil hasn't heretofore really been influential in daily affairs. But now it's starting to. There's this whole other movement that's going on called the Aquarian or the New Age movement. And it's going on in all nations simultaneously. There's been friends of mine that have made extensive trips behind the Iron Curtain. Matter of fact, one friend of mine wore one of my pyramids on Radio Moscow for 8 hours about 4 years ago, Joseph Amatry, and from a group called the One World Family. And
I bet Vladimir Posner must have loved that.
Yeah, well, the Russians have been using pyramids for a long, long, long time. Most of my devices, for example, the first ones that I ever built would always go behind the Iron Curtain. You know, I used to have different agents when I was traveling with the National Health Federation. For years, I had different agencies follow me around trying to study the strategic uses of things that I was creating. You know, for example, I was taken to Mexico once, and it went back when Potrero was the president down there, and his regime was taken to a town of Califia, which is south of Rosarita Beach, about another 10 miles or so, and offered the entire town as a scientific community. And the Arabs, the Saudi nations, were very interested in a lot of my research a while back, too, but I made it quite clear to all these different governments that I didn't feel comfortable working with them, and I would just continue to work at home here. But fact is, like when that one device of mine came up in England in that Moonraker movie that James Bond did, it was a device that made things electrically invisible, which is now part of the stealth technology that they were talking about last night. These are not the new offensive weapon systems that they're working on, and the laser systems that they're working on, which I have seen, they require reflectors and things in orbit to be effective at this point in time. There's one that's that beams from the from space down, and then there's one that beams from the ground up into space and then back down again. These are high-powered laser systems with solar assist panels on them, but these are not the kinds of technologies that we're getting into. See, the Pleiadians have shown us technologies, and not only have they shown myself and Billy Meyer different technologies, but they have been in contact with some of the governments around the world. And there is a very high technology form of science coming online that will be very good for defensive systems. The Pleiadians have not shown us at all anything offensive. They're not into that, but they do have defense mechanisms. They have one system that's been demonstrated, for example, on their ships that makes them visible from one side only. People standing, say, from the north of one of them could see them, and people on the south side would see nothing. In a sense, where they're allowing light to polarize light through matter in one direction only.
Well, you know, it's funny, Dr. Bell, how science fiction leads to science reality. If you remember back in the mid-60s in Star Trek, there were the Klingons and their cloaking device, which is really a forerunner of stealth technology.
That's right. And stealth technology, for those of you that aren't familiar with it, is a type of paint and coating used on an aircraft and a type of material, which is a pressed carbon fiber that has a very poor reflectivity of radio frequency signals. Therefore, it makes it hard to see it electrically through the radar. And this type of technology, I think, was also used on that vehicle that was seen back east when we were talking, when we had Alan Heineken last week. He was talking about that one ship that was not seen on radar. But it would have been seen on low ground radar if it had been 1,000 feet high, but I'm sure it had the same type of technology applied to it. The other types of technology that are coming into play are these force field technologies that can take a point blank blast of a nuclear bomb.
Because I just wanted to add here that Alan J. Hynek, now no longer with us, was the head runner up on the
time field. So the alterations of
project for the Air Force to find out about, called Project Blue Book. He had been on my show the week before. He was also physically located in my office over in Redondo Beach at the time. He had retired and had his own radio show.
The beginning of that technology, but in fact, in the experiments, the time and space parameters around the craft were altered. And this could be done as a defense wall, and it can be sent several miles into the air. But the disadvantage of something like that, of course, would be an airplane could not fly through it. It would be severely distorted to do that. But these are the kinds of things you're going to see in the next 4 years.
Now, don't you get into a little problem when you start dealing with these types of technology, and that is you are disturbing the space-time continuum, and that would seem to me to be extremely serious.
Well, you are. It is not serious because the Pleiadian technology, for example, involving faster-than-light travel, like when Semyonti took Billy Meyer up and showed him, the paradoxical type of life forms, meaning the old dinosaurs that would fly that existed back on the Earth some millions of years ago, it is almost as common to travel in time as it is to travel on our freeways for them. And having experienced this myself, and at first it seems pretty awesome to travel in time, but mark my words, in the next 25 years, and looking back 100 years, if we'd been talking about B-70s and B-52s and all of that sort of thing, that would have been awesome. Just 50 years ago, that would have been awesome. But now, the time travel is exactly where we're at right now. That's the topic I want to get into at some point here today, will be the pineal gland and how it relates to time. But we are coming on to that time right now. And it's like last night when the weapons were discussed, there have been no progressive, the weapons that are being used now, missiles and different types of aircraft and even the stealth technology. We had chaff a few years ago. Chaff was the thing where we dropped out things behind airplanes to fool radar sets. We had frequency jamming radars called IF and SIF, identification friend or foe. When I was in the Air Force back in the early and late 50s, the stuff that I'm seeing in the last 15 to 20 years and being deployed is 20 to 25 years behind time in technology. That B-70's been on the... We had the B-70 back when I was at Rockwell, which was back in 65.
I remember the XB-70s, the initial drawings that came out. They must have been either in the late 50s or early 60s.
Right. And this type of military deployment, contrasted like the conversation that we had last week with the talks about wearing the radomes in the colleges because the collegiate material is far behind the times is a parallel thing, and it has nothing to do with spiritual advancement. And the spirit today, man's spiritual advancement is finding its way quickly into science and technology. The New Age scientists are moving at frightening rates. The problem that New Age technology is suffering from right now is lack of funds, because the funds are still controlled by the sexual groups that represent the Reagans and the Mondales at this point in time. and they're behind the times. And these people, you know, bless their hearts, they're doing the best they can, but they're totally blind. Except last night, it was starting to slip. I think Reagan was almost having to fight for credibility last night because he is seen. Reagan, you know, his speech last night turned me on, especially when he started talking about sharing the technology with the Russians, but not the, the offensive technology, but the defensive technology. Even though it may not come to pass, at least the man had the idea of sharing. He's been motivated by some higher spiritual mannerism. I guess probably in when you reach that age, it automatically starts to happen. But Mondale was not understanding what he was saying when he was talking about that, and he put up a wall. And that wall exists today between the New Age science and the Old Age science. I mean, it was clearly being portrayed right there on the stage last night. It was about the best debate I've seen.
Dr. Bell, I would like to pause here and invite people to call in if you have any opinions or comments on the topics of today. I want to remind you that we do have open lines. We'd like to hear from you. 772-5718 and 316 KFOX are our numbers. And you are listening to the Dr. Fred Bell Health Science and Energy Show, heard Monday through Friday between 11 and 11:30. Dr. Bell, I agree with you. I found it fascinating last night. I think that without getting political here, and I don't want to get this into any kind of a partisan conversation, but I will say, I found it very heartening to hear Ronald Reagan indicate that he, in fact, would be willing to share this. And I don't even like the term weapon because it is a weapon, but it is a defensive weapon. It is a weapon that would be used to defend countries, not to attack.
Right, and you know, you can't keep that science away from mankind. A lot of my friends at NASA currently cannot get the government to, you know, budget their programs, because a lot of world famous scientists working for these different agencies work at home too. You know, their whole life is science. So what happens is typically there's these underground movements that are starting to form now, and have actually been forming, but they're gaining some power and some momentum. And these underground movements are the New Age science coming from what I would call so-called credible scientists that have put man on the moon, scientists have developed these nuclear weapons. These kinds of sciences are starting to surface. They're surfacing through what I would call secondary scientific trade journals. There's more and more and more of them coming on. Ones like maybe Omni Magazine, which is a little bit of science fiction, a little bit of science fact. It's beginning to surface now a lot through Scientific American. I mean, I'm seeing some high impact work come to light now in Scientific American, performed at some major universities around the country. Remember, Buckminster Fuller was very popular on the Ivy League circuit. He lived back up in Massachusetts and spent a lot of time on Amherst College, which is a pre-med school where I used to give seminars too. And this kind of influence has affected the kids that are starting to graduate now, the New Age PhD. So we're going to see some quantum leaps. And we have to see that. We have to see the emphasis turn now towards this type of the defensive techniques and not offensive techniques, because of the environment. At the same time, the environment is heading us straight into devastation. Nature herself will be wiping us all off this planet if we don't clean up the air and the water and all these kinds of things.
Well, I have heard the arguments against the deployment of such a system. I find them extremely unconvincing. I can't imagine that anything could be more worthwhile than defense of the country and the world from these awesome weapons and the potential threat that they hold for all nations.
Yeah, that's very true. Anyway, today I want to start getting into my subject here. You know, I've had to get that spoken about. And today I want to talk about something that is moving spiritually with us, and it's even affecting our science and technology, and that's part of the glandular system within the human body. Now, with the gland that I started to talk about on Friday was called the pineal gland. And the pineal gland has long since been studied by the ancients and has been called the biological clock. In the 17th century, for example, René Descartes established the notion that the pineal housed the seat of the rational soul. In the formulation of the eyes perceived the events of the real world and transmitted what they saw to the pineal by way of strings in the brain. And of course, later science began to bear that out, that the pineal gland did in fact have an effect. And what's happening now is the pineal gland has been, you know, is starting to open up and function again because of the cycles, the circadian rhythm, which is the daily cycle of the body, and the solar cycle and the stellar cycle. The stellar cycle is what we've talked about the Earth evolving around the central sun, the Pleiades, every 25,000 years. During this time when civilizations rise and fall, the pineal gland, subtly as all glands do in the body, evolve, even though maybe a major portion of a particular race, like the Aryan race, or some of the other races that have lived on this planet for centuries and centuries, even though they go through these changes, there is a constant upstate, up vibration evolution in the body that's constantly taking place, leading man into what's called the fifth kingdom or the spiritual kingdom. Now I realize if we had a nuclear war, we'd be instantly in the spiritual kingdom, you know, because we would be going on. And the funny, the big shock to a lot of nations and a lot of souls would be that if we all went out at the same time in a nuclear war, we would not all be dead. We'd be very much alive, but we'd be out of body. We'd be looking back at this devastated planet. We'd have to figure out how to work our ways back into our bodies so that we could evolve, because we would go out of our bodies to such a point that we couldn't evolve beyond that.
Now that's interesting.
The way we got there, it's like suicide.
Why couldn't we evolve? Why couldn't we just say at that point, no more?
Because we got ourselves, we would have ourselves put there, we would have put ourselves there. And in the process of putting ourselves there, we now have the freedom to get uninvolved. Mm-hmm. It's like on this planet, you know, if you don't have any money, it's hard to go on a neat vacation. Yet everybody wants to go on a vacation, but nobody likes to work. So in order to go on vacation, it's very simple. Go to work, save some money, and then go on a vacation. It works that way. In order to reach higher levels, you have to penetrate lower levels. And we have to penetrate right now. We're at the threshold or the brink of penetrating some very deep lower levels, especially if we upset the Earth a little bit more and get some quakes going, you know, because there is a pressure between the surface of the planet and the core, because the core is very hot, very molten. If we start increasing the temperature above the surface of the planet with nuclear war, for example, which generates hundreds of millions of degrees, and believe me, the bombs that we're talking about today have nothing to do with the bombs dropped on Hiroshima. It's like comparing a stick of dynamite to a firecracker, and that's even a slim comparison, because these new bombs are tremendous. I know how they work. I've seen them, you know. And this kind of heat will cause all kinds of environmental changes besides the radiation. So if we've got to work within where we are now, we have a golden opportunity, you know, in this age to really do something constructive, and we actually have no choice but to do it, because we've created our space and time right now where we are. So these are the kinds of things, you know, for me to be able to talk like this, and for you to understand it, and for other people to understand these kinds of conversations, this is a function of the beginning of the pineal body, because the pineal body, each gland in our body, each endocrine gland in our body, when it secretes a hormone, allows the body to realize a feeling. And all truth is, when it reaches consciousness, it only reaches us through the feeling. It doesn't reach us through the brain, mind, or the intellect. The intellect, as a matter of fact, the Tibetans used to have an old saying, that the mind is the destroyer of the real. So we have to realize what's going on. Now, the pineal gland, they found that, you know, in some children, for example, if it were to go into some form of calcification or develop tumors in early days, this is early research I'm talking about now, they found that the sex drive would be very low in that child, whereas if they found that the person had a normal pineal gland, the sex drive would be increased. And one of the guys that did a lot of research was back about 1918, a guy by the name of Niels Holmgren. He was a Swedish anatomist, and he examined the pineal regions of the frogs and dogs and things like that. And he began to realize that in the observations of the pineal glands of small animals like that, especially cold-blooded vertebrates, that they found what are called optical cone cells or photoreceptor cells all over the gland. This
Dr.
is where
Bell.
The American, you know, society, you know, medical society and the profession began to actually accept this third eye, because the pineal gland, even though it was buried into the head, had light-sensing photoreceptors.
That's exactly the question I was going to ask you, at the risk of demonstrating my ignorance. Where exactly is this located?
In the head, you mean? On a person?
Yeah, is that where it is?
It's approximately in the center of your brain, between your ears. That's just about where it is. And maybe down about a half an inch. But from right at the opening in your ears, right in the center of the brain, and down about a half an inch is where it sits on humans.
That's kind of at the base of the brain then.
Right. It is. It's actually right. The base of the brain is called the cerebellum,
mm-hmm.
and the pineal gland is right next door to that. And so what they began to find out, they began to take the extracts of the pineal gland, and they began to put it on the skins of different animal. And they found that the pineal gland, the extract of the pineal gland, would actually had a bleaching effect on the skin. So in 1958, a guy by the name of Aaron Lerner at Yale compounded a unique substance, or they actually identified a unique substance called melatonin in the pineal gland of cattle. So then this was the beginning of they already knew about serotonin, but now they knew about melatonin. And it was really interesting because of the research that went on. They found that, for example, they began to experiment with animals, and they would experiment with frogs and cattle and things with lights on and lights off. And they found that when you put any kind of warm-blooded animal in a situation where the lights are on for a long period of time, that the lights would actually stimulate the pineal gland, and it would slow down its production of melatonin and increase the production of serotonin. Now, when you slow down the production of melatonin due to the fact of light coming into the body or being in a lit environment, what happens is the melatonin production in the body, when it's slowed down, causes a reverse effect on women and men both, and their sexual energies increase. Whereas if serotonin is increased, then the sexual levels drop. So they began to, it's like a lot of people have had problems, you know, diagnosed with AIDS. I've seen people have problems saying that their sex drive is too low, you know, when they get older. And typically what you're going to find in a person like that is the melatonin production too high. You know, that's just about what you'll find. And so what they'll do is they'll start taking vitamin E and selenium and things like that. And what happens is this won't help them any because they're dealing with a pituitary or pineal gland problem. And if they're having a problem with the pineal gland, and you might look at their personalities, they might have some calcified problem. They might be calcified in that area, like we've discussed before on the show. So if a person has reached a high level of calcium in the pineal gland level, then what happens is their sex drive, there's not a whole lot they can do about it at this time unless they find a way to decalcify the pineal gland. Now, the next area that's interesting about the pineal gland is, first of all, they had to do some research and to find out how the light, because the pineal gland does not absorb light directly. So how does a human or how does an animal know, and especially, you know, like in the spring comes, spring is the mating season for lots of animals because we have longer days, those kinds of things. Well, they began to research that, and they found that the sympathetic nervous system, which we've talked about before on the show in different things we've discussed, transmits optical stimulus or light stimulus into the pineal gland. So and they found this out by running the experiments with animals with long light conditions and then disconnecting different parts of the nerves in the body to determine, of course, this is how research works, determining how much of an effect it had. Same thing is with people. Now, the next thing that we get into is the serotonin reactions in the body. Now, first of all, whenever melatonin goes down, serotonin goes up. So while melatonin controls the sexual or the physical aspect of the man, of the spirit, the serotonin levels control the spiritual aspect of the spirit. For example, if serotonin level is up during the day and the melatonin is down, the sexual energy is higher. But late at night, for example, the serotonin level drops and the melatonin increases. So when the serotonin drops, say around midnight, it's at its lowest level and the melatonin is up at its highest level, spiritually a lot of people become very creative. A lot of people like to stay up late at night and study the stars or study science or become creative, or writers like to write late at night because other people are sleeping and the subtle energies aren't there to cause a distraction, which is true. So you begin to see how the body begins to work with the contrast between these two hormones. And it's important to begin to balance your body. So in order to balance your body, because you're dealing with a particularly high-frequency organ here, you have to, you know, keep the diet proper. You have to have your air ion balanced, because realize that the ionization levels increase and decrease these hormones too. The electrical level, science is starting to really begin to find that the pineal gland is probably the most fascinating gland in the body. You know, and I know in your gland, your body, it was affected today when we brought the receptor in. Remember you wore the diamond receptor. Are you still wearing that?
Yes, I am. I've got it on right now, as a matter of fact.
How do you like it?
Well, so far, pretty good. Now, I take it that the effects are going to be cumulative and subtle for a while.
Oh, they will. But that's all. Are you wearing it externally?
Well, what do you mean externally?
Where people can see it.
Well, I've got it under my shirt here. Is that okay, or does that have to
That's okay, but wear it externally as much as you can.
Okay.
Because that seems to increase the spiritual power of it when people can see it.
Okay, I've got it out right now, as a matter of fact.
Oh, good. So wear it out at night when you go out and when you go to lunch and things like that. It goes with anything. You'll get a lot of comments on it because it is a very striking piece of
Yes, it is.
Equipment,
as a matter of fact, I've seen Debbie Kenna wear hers, I don't think just for spiritual aspects, but also because it is intrinsically very pleasant to look at.
Right. Yeah, that's a very nice-looking device. But that one with a diamond in it directly affects the pineal gland. Now, I couldn't say whether it increases or decreases the calcium level in the pineal gland. Your actions and thoughts will determine that.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a claim. But I honestly think that it does spiritually raise the energy, and I believe that it helps lower the serotonin level. Realize that serotonin is a hormone. The activity of serotonin in the human being should be decreased with age, and the melatonin should increase slightly with age, because melatonin even goes down and affects pigmentation of skin. You know, it affects a lot of things in the body. And now the new research on the pineal gland is that, and it's in Scientific American. I was looking through it this morning because they're starting to find out now that the pineal gland is responsible for the changes in the annual changes, the changes that go throughout the body, which are not related to light or darkness per se, but they are actually related to the seasonal vibratory frequency of a particular planet. And that's kind of where the research is terminated itself at this point. They're starting to realize now that the pineal gland has a lot to do with man's deep inner feelings. It has to do with the body chemistry changing itself. For example, children like a lot of milk as they get older. Typically, they'll evolve more to juices and natural, higher frequency foods. The meat intake, the growth hormone factor. As we get older, we require less food because the growth hormone factor changes in the body. A lot of this is starting to attribute itself to the actual pineal gland itself, so it's a fascinating area to study.
Now, Dr. Bell, we are just about out of time, and I wanted you to make sure you let everyone know how to get a hold of you.
Okay, we're at 891 Santa Ana Street in Laguna Beach, and the zip is 92651, and the phone number here is 714-499-2603.
Now, they can call that number for all your products, including Excalibur, right?
Right, Excalibur is here, and so are the receptors. A lot of people are wearing those now. I'm seeing more and more of those go out of here.
Yes, indeed. Dr. Fred Bell, we're out of time. We'll see you tomorrow, Fred.
Okay, have a nice day, Jim.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, heard Monday through Friday between 11 and 11:30, and we'll be back with Dr. Bell tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Bye-bye.
Old Dr. Fred Bell, the Fred Bell Show. So we'll continue on with a little bit of something else here momentarily. I hope you enjoyed that show. That was me 21 years ago, but look what we were talking about, the amazing pineal gland. Well, anyway, we're going to, this is a two for one tonight, because my show, I just remembered, was only a half an hour show versus the hour that I do now. So we're going back, stepping back into another show that I did with Jim back in 1984, and I'll continue on here, and Dr. Fred will probably, this is it's kind of neat when there's two of me at one time, when my younger version and my older version, and of course this is the younger one speaking now, because this one's in time. It's like time travel. That's what we're all about. I guess we do some time travel. I like time travel, and welcome once again our 14th listener out there. I'm just blown away. We've got another listener. But we're going to be rolling into this Dr. Bell stuff here real close, and you're going to be hearing, here we come.
Oh, good morning.
Wait, is that how
there
you
he
doing?
Is.
I'm doing fine. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, really good. I was listening to myself echo last week on the air here.
You were listening to yourself echo?
Yeah, I heard you play the tape a couple times, and I wanted to, I guess maybe we got to get a whole series of tapes up to you then, because I'd like to, when I'm not out of town, to run some of these things back in complete succession rather than the same tape.
Yes,
tape.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
How was your trip?
Well, I didn't go anywhere. I was just down on the Long Beach Arena, down there on the pier clearing customs with one of our cars. We brought a Rolls Royce in from England. It was the first one that I'd ever done, so I got the magic experience of how you actually bring in a gray market car, how you get a bond on it, how to clear it with you know, customs and do the whole thing on it, you know, and it took a couple of days to do it all, but it was fun. And then we had a great time riding around in a white Rolls Royce with a right-hand drive weighing a pyramid. Great experience. Everybody wants to talk to you, and you can talk back. You know, I was really surprised because the right-hand drive cars, I'd never driven one in American traffic. As a matter of fact, it was Friday night when we finally got it out, so I got to go through the, had to drive up to Los Angeles, so I got to go through the bumper-to-bumper ribbon, you know.
And did you adapt well to the right-hand drive?
Yeah, it's really easy because, at first I thought it would be harder to drive, but actually I think it's more comfortable to drive because, like, when you make a left-hand turn, you're on the outside, so it's easier to gauge. So if you're making a left-hand turn and somebody else is making a left-hand turn, then you don't run into them as easy. And when you go to park it, you know, when you park, you're looking right out at the curb. If you're driving along, you know, you want to talk to someone next to you, and you're in the left lane, and they're in the right lane, you can just start a conversation with the driver of the other car, you know. It was really a, it was really an experience. And then we had the conversion guy take it on down to San Diego because, you know, cars that are, 68 or later have to go through a conversion process. But it was kind of interesting in the course of doing that because we got the price way down now. So it makes it, you know, economical to bring these kinds of cars in. We spoke about this back a few months ago when I was first playing with it, you know. And so, that, you know, it's amazing how many calls I got from the gray market conversation that we had. And, you know, judging by the docks, because this one shipper where we went, which is berth 200 down on the in San Pedro there, there was a lot of cars sitting down there that people are doing this thing. It must be the big fad in America now to bring cars over from Europe. And it's kind of interesting because I saw a lot of cars that I'd never seen before, you know. A lot of old antique cars are coming in, lots and lots of Porsches, and I saw all kinds of Mercedes-Benzes that are never seen in this country either. And you can pick them up in Europe. You realize right now Holland is the place to go because they're having an economy over there crash. And I think that people are picking up Mercedes for like half price right now in Holland, you know, new ones, which is unusual.
Well, let's go. We'll do a remote broadcast from Holland.
Yeah, I'm ready, you know. The English pound dropped some more, you know. It dropped a whole lot.
Uh-huh.
But it's a tremendous savings. People can call me if they want more information on cars, but I don't want too many phone calls in on right now. We've sold that Rolls-Royce for, I think it was $21,000, which I think for a late model Rolls-Royce Corniche 2, that's a heck of a good price, and the car was like mint. So it's a tremendous savings all the way around, you know, to from the consumer to the purchaser. Everybody does real well.
And, of course, a car like that does not depreciate, it appreciates.
Right. Well, a friend of mine sold this is a little bit higher price League. It's a convertible version of the Corniche. And the Corniche convertible, a friend of mine sold, I think it was a 79 for 100. And so I sold it for, I think, 91,000. And in about 12 months, which is, the time period hasn't quite elapsed yet, the same car will be worth $135,000. That's a pretty good upswing for sitting on an investment for a year.
It's a very good appreciation.
Yeah, and already in the last, since I've been involved with it, in the last 2 months, the Rolls-Royce purchasing cost in England's gone up 10%. So it's a good investment for somebody that wants to have a solid car to drive. You know, that car that I sold for 21, as soon as the guy converts it, which will take 5 working days and cost him about $2,500, he can put the car back on the market and sell it fast for $35,000. But he'll make himself a quick $10,000, you know, for a week's time. So, you know, that's kind of the way the market's worked it, and the part that I got into was just being the importer, because it's fun to import things. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good, it expands your horizon, you know, thinking about what time it is in Germany or what time it is in England continually all day long and working with those overseas nations, it does expand you a little bit. There's more going on than just what's around our own backyards, you know. It's kind of fun. Anyhow, last week we were talking about the pyramids, and we were talking about systems, and we've gotten into the radionic applications of the pyramid system, and that was kind of fun. And I was just trying to get into, before I stop talking about pyramids and switch to another topic here, I wanted to finish up with today with the radionic influence of the pyramid systems that we use and how they can be used to, if a person wants to, increase their financial gains even. Because radionic energy will work that way for you. It will work any way that you ask it to work, but you just have to realize that when you start working in with the systems, you've got to continue with the systems to make everything run smooth. Now, one of the things that we had done is we had described a couple of the basic things that we do in the systems. And I remember I was telling you about the one I wanted to bring up there to the studio. Put one in the studio and one in the back part of the room. Remember we talked about that one?
Yes, it would have that negative energy channeled out to the back room.
Right, and into a ground pipe. Well, a system like that is not one where I would call a money-making system. It's more of a conscious-raising system. But to get into the flow of actual income, increase in your income with a pyramid, which is, I've seen it done many, many times, is first of all, you have to realize what money is and what it represents. And the first thing that a person that I recommend they should do is to, first of all, realize the principles that the United States was founded on. And, of course, that was truth, liberty, and justice. Right? That's the supposed things that this country was founded on before a little bit of corruption sort of entered in. Maybe a lot. So then the next thing is realize what was symbolic of that. Well, the symbolism of the land was the eagle, and the symbolism of the spirit was the pyramid. And the symbolism of the pyramid's power was the third eye, which is on the Great Pyramid. And, of course, the energy of money is green, and so on the green side of a dollar bill, we find the Great Pyramid. And right in the area, which is approximately about where the King's Chamber is, which is the peak or the center or the epithet of the male masculine energy, we find an eye, in the all-seeing eye. So this of course, is what we're talking about when we deal with pyramids.
Dr. Bell, you are absolutely right. I think everyone should take a dollar bill out right now if they've got one and look at the back side. And, in fact, you do see the third eye with the pyramid.
Right. And, you know, looking at the pyramid on the dollar bill, a lot of people don't realize the laws of magic, you know. And, first of all, on the dollar bill, you see the eagle on the right and the pyramid on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy comes from the left-hand path. And the ray, the third ray, there's seven rays in the universe, okay? Remember we talked about the first ray, and with the gemstone for each one, the first ray is working on the crown, the top of the head, and the second ray is in the lower part of the head, and the third ray is another part of the body,
mm-hmm.
and then the seventh ray is down at the base of the spine. Remember we did that exercise?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, well, all that is the invocation of energy. And if you study, like, these very wealthy families around the world, there's so many families that live around the world. One of the first things that I've seen when people reach really great levels of power and affluence, I mean, I'm talking great levels of power and affluence, they get very much into symbolism, and most of the heaviest, more I would call high financial types in the world are very much into pyramids and very much into the symbolism behind the pyramid, and totally use these techniques in their daily life because they know they have the leisure. They've reached a point where they can actually play around. When you play around with 10 or 20 or $50 million and you can just kick back and watch it do things, you can really see the effect of, you know, symbolic energy. And I feel that it's necessary to talk about the actual money factor in life as much as the health factor in life, because I've seen a lot of people get sick because they didn't have enough money. And another thing that was said to me once was that money isn't the cause of problems, it's the lack of it. And so, it's all right to be materialistic as long as you're spiritual and as long as you let the material values move. You don't have to hold on to things. So, one of the quickest ways that I found to have any kind of money in your life is not to go out and search for money, but serve other people's needs. Serve needs of mankind, and money comes. So then what happens is when you get this thought train going, you can then radionically improve on it. And one of the things, for example, that happens radionically over in England and Germany is that when a person is sick, they have machines called radionic equipment or radionic machines that look at the weakness in the body homeopathically. And they'll have a particular salt or a combination of herbs and flower remedies. There's lots of different remedies. And they diagnose this shortage or deficiency of the body by equipment that primarily looks at the colors of the body, the seven different rays, and it'll find which ray is the lowest. For example, in America needs more and more green energy, which is the emerald, which is the third ray. That's one thing that we lack in this country. Actually, the whole world lacks the third ray. The third ray, looking directly into the human body, into the atomic structure of the human body is the hydrogen atom, and the hydrogen atom, of course, splits the third ray internally, giving it power to run the carbon atom, the nitrogen atom, and the oxygen atom, which then form all the different elements in the body. So this is the way ray power works. And without it, if you cut it off, the hydrogen atom begins to die, and the rest of the body begins to die. So it's a very important thing. The same thing is true in chlorophyll. When you look at the magnesium atom in chlorophyll, magnesium atom is helping the chlorophyll absorb the energy from sunlight. The chlorophyll, of course, is the green coloring in a plant. It's the most vital for the human body. And then, of course, when you digest the plant, it releases sugars from the plant into the body, which gives the cells energy. So all of these things are aspects of the third ray. We could take any one of seven rays in the body, but we're talking today about the third ray. And I'm just trying to show from a broad point of view where you, even though money is one aspect of it, you have to see the whole configuration of the entire ray pattern itself to really understand it. Once you understand it and see how it works, then you can read the Latin words on the dollar bill again, you know, on the Great Seal. And it says there in Latin, Novus Ordo Seclarium, which means New Order of the Ages. And the New Order of the Ages, of course, is what we're talking about, the New Age equipment, the new types of pyramid technology, all those kinds of things. As a matter of fact, the dollar bill, because of the laws of invocation and evocation, when you have a dollar bill, every dollar bill in the world has to be at one point passed through the pyramid because the pyramid is on it. So what that means is that every dollar in the world will have something to do with the purchase of a pyramid. It will take someone to Egypt to look at a pyramid. It will have been spent by every human being that ever handles one on something to do in relationship to the pyramid. That's the way these kinds of laws work, and it may take a while for it to happen, but it in fact does happen. Now, the next thing we did is we talked about this particular system, and last week we had laid up a circle on the floor, and we had put a compass in the center of the circle and had drawn seven different lines. And on these lines we had placed pyramid structures, and each line was divided into 52 degrees, which is the angle of the Great Pyramid. And within these structures, we had, within this circle, we had placed structures. Now, realizing that this configuration of different pyramid arrays is sitting in your house, we've got to understand a few things that are happening. Number one, it's pointed and aligned with the Earth's magnetic field. The Earth's magnetic field is changing all of the time, and especially with its rotation. And as the Earth rotates in space, energy comes from the sun and creates behind the Earth what's called a solar wind, or these things called solar winds. Energy is coming from the different planets and stars like the Pleiades, Orion, Sirius, all of the stars that have influence immediately every day in our day-to-day life. They work through, for example, the astrological factions of the human body, whereby when these energies come in, they go into the endocrine system. They cause the secretion of hormones by relaxing or tightening the system depending on where we're at and which influence we're having. And we have these negative influences that Farley talks about. We have a tightening of consciousness and a slowing down of the energy. And when we have the positive aspects, we have a relaxing aspect. So what happens is with these pyramid array systems, the energy comes in universally all the time, but it's being, because the system is consistently polarized and consistently not being moved, it's in one position all of the time, the influence of the stars on your body begins to change, because the pyramid system can be directed to change your body radionically. And the way that it's done is that, number one, a receptor, for example, worn on the body that has been placed in one of these systems has an influence. Or number two, handwriting or any kind of blood sample, any kind of a sample, whoever wants to be influenced by the system or have influence on the system is placed within the system itself. It's exactly the way that they do radionic treating over in England. When they take a sample of someone's blood and treat it with a proper remedy that will increase its energy or field vibratory pattern and place it in what's called a little bit of a well of a machine, which then is directed at that individual, which could be 1,000 miles away. Our system is doing the exact same thing. And so what we do is we found that we can write messages, in other words, messages, because we're asking the universe in our handwriting, in the signature of our own handwriting, to perform a function for us. So So what we do is we write down on a piece of paper, preferably a piece of blank paper, not letting any other person see what we've written. We put it into a sealed envelope and place the envelope inside the system. This then is transmitted through the system radionically into the universe. And what will happen is it will start directing all of these energies that are coming to us all the time directly out to, you know, accomplish this purpose of what we've asked this machine to do. And then what happens is we have to work it, because the system realized now that people are moving, they're vacillating, they're changing orientation daily because they move around. The system isn't. So the system is constantly taking these rays, these energies, and sending them out to the people or whatever area that we wanted to transmit. Let's, for example, say I write a new car. All right, what would happen is I would write down on a piece of paper, I want a new car. I could say about when I want it, you know, the type of car, the color, a complete working description, not just a demand. At the same time, I would be asking myself why I need this car. Why do I need this thing? Transportation, you know, what is the reason for it? I'd put all that down and put it inside the system. Then what would happen is, once the system is loaded with this information, it will transmit this energy on a vibratory pattern out, and it will begin to attract that to the system that I've asked for. So that means at some point in time, I might mention to somebody, I'm looking for something. That person might, you know, subconsciously mention to somebody else. And pretty soon a phone call will come and the person says, oh, I've heard you want a new car or whatever, you know, because they're at a moment in their mind, when their mind was slightly blank, this energy just sort of loftily centered itself in there and became embedded, and the person had to release it because you sent it to them. Now they have to release it. So the way they have to release it is send it back to you. Because energy is transmitted back and forth to humans all the time. That's the urge for communication. So what we're doing now is we're radionically beginning to tune in to what's called the urge for communication. Without it, of course, everybody would be an island, and there wouldn't be any communication. Commerce is built upon this urge. So we're tapping into the forces, what I would call the precursing forces that produce commerce in the first place when we ask for something on a material level. You know, the greater the demand, the greater should be the need. And if you don't balance the two, then the result can, you know, can oftentimes be unbalanced. For example, you end up buying a car that you can't afford. So you have to, or if the greatest need is great enough, somebody might give you a car. It comes different ways. I remember one time I sold one of these systems that does this, and a system like this, we can do it. You don't need the full 7 radiator pattern generator network. You can do it with 4. Now, I remember I sold one of these systems to a policeman down in Long Beach, and he was just starting out in real estate. He'd been working for the police department down there for like 20 years, and he was skeptical. He had heard about it because the church that he was going to was using some of my equipment to evacuate or sanctify an area, like we were talking about the materialization of interdimensional things that you could see, like, you know, entities and things like that. Well, this church was in the process of doing that and working with it, and they were getting some pretty good results. So one in the congregation asked the preacher, the minister, where, you know, this equipment came from and what it could do. So then the guy, the Long Beach policeman, then having talked to his minister, gave me a call and says, I don't understand this equipment. He says, I'm just a simple everyday cop. Been working on the force for 18 years. I don't know if it works or not, but I've seen some changes in the church, and I'd like to try a system out. He says, I can afford it if it works. He says, if not, I don't want to be fooling with it. And I says, well, let me try it. So I took it up to Long Beach's system, and he ordered a really nice one, and explained to him how it worked, and he said he had some real estate things that he wanted to do with it, and I says, fine, this is how you can do it. And how you can, you know, influence decisions by people, you know, making them at different phases of selling and buying. So we set him a system up, and he tried it out for about a month. And usually when a person gets a system up, I like to check on it 2 or 3 times to make sure it's working right. On these big systems, I personally usually am there, because there's a lot of things that you have to deal with. And so I went in there about the second day, and I noticed that he had lots and lots of brown envelopes all over the place in these different places where you put them. They were all sealed. And I noticed that he had the system almost working right. He had one particular column a little bit close to a curtain, and he was running some negative ion generator through it, and it was putting, you know, the curtain was giving a problem to the machine, so I made a slight adjustment on the system. And then the next time I went back again, and I said, I'd like to look at this system again. He says, see if you're happy with it. He says, I'm very happy with it. He just handed me cash for the entire amount of system. He says, I understand it works He says, you don't have to bother me anymore. He says, I just want it, you know. So he at that point in time on, he started becoming a regular vitamin customer and using the system, but he never told me what he was doing with it or why. He said he was very pleased with it. And that's typically what people will do when they get one of the systems going for them and it's working for them. They usually don't talk about it that much because they do get results, and the results are pretty phenomenal. And, you know, it's a lot of fun when you get into the system. Those of you that are interested in the systems that we're talking about, I have a catalog that sells for $2. It's called Paradigm Systems. And you can get that from me at 891 Santa Ana Street in Laguna Beach. And the zip is 92651. And there are many, many, many applications of systems. Like, for example, we used a single irradiator column in Megor Base, what it's called, up at Aspen, Colorado, in a ski school up there. And what we would do is we were taking people that were the first-time students and we put the irradiator system up in a house that overlooked a mountain where the ski school was teaching. And we put a whole lot of bluestones in there. I think we were using turquoise at the time and some quartz into the system itself, and then directed the system onto the slopes, which were about 2 or 3 miles away. Then what we did is we took a group of students and we put some receptors on some of them. These were all first-timers on skis. And it's another group without any receptors on. And they had the blue stones in it, the blue sapphire. And we ran experiments. We had them skiing, and we ran some experiments, and we found that the apprehension levels of the ones that were just starting out with the receptor on and having the energy from the pyramid being directed to it, the apprehension levels were far less than the ones that didn't have the receptor on. As a result, the people actually accelerated their skiing time about almost 100% faster as far as their competence on the hills. So because the apprehension rate was much lower in these people that were being treated radionically, they didn't fall down as much. They didn't have as much fear as the other group. And we did that over a period of 2 years with several different groups, and we got the results the same every time. Finally, what one of the ski schools up there did off. Took that little system, like the one that I was describing, to bring into the net station there, and they set it up in their classroom, because they usually have classrooms, and they charge the students up there, and that worked real well. So that was another application where a business had done real well. We also put a few of those, what's called solar orbs, up over cash registers. We found that if you put them over a cash register in a business, in a store, the cash flow in the cash register increases quite a bit. It's substantial, as a matter of fact. And even though a lot of people didn't believe in pyramids per se, they definitely believed in magic. They definitely believed in more money. And I've seen it happen time and time and time again. There was a little shop up on Whittier Boulevard called Flo's Flowers in Pico Rivera that still has one of my installations up there. Probably one of the first ones I ever did. And she made a tremendous amount of money, not only on the saving of the flowers, because the flowers would go bad oftentimes, because when the pyramid is installed, for example, over a flower, the flowers and roses in flower shops, roses go bad real quick. So after 3 days, if the roses don't have the fresh look, they have to throw them out. So what she found is that roses could be set under these pyramids. We installed these grids in the ceilings, and then she found that the pyramid would keep the rose fresh for approximately a week to 10 days. So having a doubling the shelf time, and almost tripling the shelf time of a rose, for example, it increased your profit margin because they don't give you a refund on roses that aren't sold. And the same thing happened with pests in there. The pests wouldn't be around, especially a thing called a mealybug, which is the scourge of all flower shops. And then the overall condition of the employees was improved because being located on Whittier Boulevard, there's a lot of traffic out there. And the room was slightly cool with an air conditioning system, so it was natural for the pyramid because we could produce negative ionization with the pyramids. As a result, the employees were feeling good all the time. They didn't get sick anymore. So all of these were factors that led into the increased cash flow. I'm talking about a 6,000% increase in cash flow. It was awesome, the amount of money that she made by saving. I didn't realize there's that much money in the flower business, but with the savings, she bought her son a Corvette Stingray and a Mack truck that she couldn't, over a period of a couple of years, that she could not have afforded, you know, naturally or normally. And then, of course, we had one over the cash register there, too. And that was really fun because watching the cash flow increase is just an amazing thing. They've done that in a lot of health food stores because health food stores have been a natural for the pyramid to do the installations there.
So these are the kinds of things that we've got into with pyramid systems, and I had a lot of fun with it. You know, we also can do remote healing with them, too, but in this country, as a professional, if you're licensed in any capacity, it's against the law, because radionics is not, you know, it's not allowed in the United States as far as charging for it or performing a service with it in relationship to the health or the healing field. Although I do have a lot of pyramid systems in a lot of different offices of death, you know, complexes all over the world. One of the most common places you'll find the orb system, which takes down the negative energy, is in a lobby somewhere. We have them in different, a lot of dentists have been very lucky with them, because they find that when they use the combination of the orb in the aisle where the coming in part there, the vestibule of the office, and then they put the grid system up over the chairs themselves and charge them with negative ionization. When they do any form of oral surgery, it eliminates the bleeding in the mouth. The bleeding is far less. And that's a problem for a dentist when he's working with bleeding, because he can't, it distracts from his work.
Dr. Bell, we are getting down to just about a minute left.
Okay, well, we had a good time here again today. And those of you that want to call me or give me a, you know, write to us, it's 891 Santa Ana Street in Laguna Beach.
Hanging out doing his thing. Isn't that amazing?
And the phone number down here is very close.
Yeah, that's just how it goes, you know. That was Dr. Bell in the old days. We done a lot with the radionics equipment. We made a lot of people millionaires, actually. That happened later, using our assistance equipment. We're very sophisticated in that. I don't teach the money aspect of it anymore. People usually find their own way with it. But solar orbs, we still make those. We put them over cash registers. And now, of course, we're into the holographic product line now, which is way different than those things. But if some of you are just stuck on money or you need it, well, we can sure make that happen really quick. It's not a problem. Money is no problem. Third ray just is a flowing energy when you understand how to deal with it. Well, I appreciate everybody tuning in to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show. And once again, Saturday night was a blast. And I'm thinking of doing another one of those. And I could do many, many of those, actually, I suppose. And I think I hear the music that's going to take me out. I think something's coming. I hear something. No, I don't hear it yet. It's somewhere. There it is. It's coming to take me out. Oh, there it is. And I guess we're going to bait out those. Another week goes by. Maybe it'll be Saturday night and maybe it'll...
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.